two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why, hello there. It's your old pal, Sarah Silverman, and I'm back with a brand new season of the Sarah Silverman Podcast. On my podcast, I am talking about everything. Politics? Yeah, we get into it. Favorite sandwich shop in L.A.? I know a few spots, and I'm going to tell you about them. I'm also going to be talking to you. I will be reacting and responding to listener voicemails in real time. Let me tell you, things can get weird, and I love every second of it. Weird is my comfort zone. The newest season of the Sarah Silverman Podcast is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
We went on actually 3 dates in 3 days. Lunch out at a brewery.
I think that I got there after her, if I recall correctly.
Yes, you did. When I got to the restaurant, I told the hostess that I was meeting a Tinder date there. If I, like, gave her some kind of signal, could she please bail me out?
I very strictly recall that I had my work shirt on, which is relevant because I train dogs for a living. And I just thought that she would be so impressed by me having this very unique career training dogs, and I was happy that I was wearing my work shirt. But I remember thinking when I walked in that I had never been here before, and I was worried about what I was going to eat because I have a lot of food allergies, and if they don't have anything for me to eat, then it's awkward to be on a date with somebody. Thinking all of this in the span of walking 20 feet away from the door.
I did think your food allergies were fake. I went home and Googled it. They are real. It's a real thing.
They are. I just had all these thoughts running through my head. But then she got up to give me a hug, and I was like, ooh, she fine. I kind of relaxed a lot more, actually, after that.
On our second date, we went out for lunch, and then we went from there to his house. In his friend group, he was notorious as a player. He was not the scene one girl type of person. And so when he told his roommates, oh, I'm going to go out with that girl again, they were like, why?
The same girl?
Yeah. We went on those dates and it was so funny because he was trying so hard to make sure that, like, I didn't think he was that kind of guy. And then we were talking and having a good time. And he was like, so, like, do you want to keep hanging out, like, at my house? Now, this isn't like a move. It's not a move. Like, trying to get you to go home with me. It's just like, that's where the dogs are. And do you want to meet the dogs? So we came back to the house and I met all of the dogs and we were hanging out in the living room. And then he asked, do you want to watch a movie? Except we have to do that in my room. This is not a move. It's not a move. That's just where the TV is. And hung out with the dogs and watched La La Land. And then had sex.
One thing that I would like to clarify is it was kind of a move. Okay. We did have sex on our second date. And my very not move worked. Hi, I'm Andy.
And I'm Sarah. We've been together for 2.5 years. Sorry, babe, I have to do the math.
Almost 3.
It'll be 3 years in February.
We are getting married in October of next year. And this is good sex.
Babe, I can't remember what we did the next day.
We might have just went to your house. We may have gone out
to
eat.
No, no. You cooked me chicken parmesan.
Oh, that's right. My famous chicken parmesan.
I came over to your house and you made me dinner.
That's how I usually get into a girl's pants.
That is what sealed the deal, honestly. I mean, the deal had been sealed the day before, but the chicken parm really did ensure that I would not forget you. But then he went to Florida. Sorry, babe, I'm telling, like, your side of it, but it's still very funny to me.
This is our best story, for sure.
He went to Florida, and I was still, like, talking to other guys while he was in Florida, because I had been doing this online dating thing for a very long time, and I was not putting all of my eggs in that basket. He's a musician, and music is really important to him, and so while he was in Florida, he had to buy a guitar so that he could play angsty songs about me.
I just could not get my feelings out any other way. I was just so desperate for her not to forget me. And I was so sure that I was going to be gone for so long. I mean, I had known her for 3 days. How could I expect her to still be there when I get back? I was thinking, I'm going to meet this fantastic girl right before I have to go somewhere for 3 weeks and she's going to forget about me. Yeah, we tucked that trauma away.
No, but I play the ukulele now. We can jam together.
That's true. That's true. So, Sarah, I have a question for you.
I'm ready.
This is a pretty interesting one.
Okay.
How was sex with me different from your last partner?
There's literally like not enough time in the world to even answer that question.
Well, I think that maybe we can give some background context to why this question might be interesting.
Okay. So I was raised in purity culture and I married my first boyfriend. He was 20 and I had just turned 21. I'd never even kissed a boy until our wedding. So we had been dating for 2 months when he told me that he, quote, struggled with same-sex attraction. He was my very first boyfriend at 19. And so what was going through my head during that conversation was, this is my only shot at getting married, is this relationship. So I have to do whatever I can to make sure this relationship succeeds. And so at the time I told him, you know, this is just our cross to bear. This is going to be our testimony. You know, we can do this together. And I mean, he went to conversion therapy. His therapist told him to go to the prayer room in our city and pray for God to heal his father wound and remove that spirit of homosexuality from him. We were married 7 months before we had sex for the first time. But when our son was 10 months old, he had been getting more and more depressed. And he came home from work one day and was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I am gay and I don't believe it's a sin anymore. And we have to get divorced. I can't do this. It felt like we had failed. And so honestly, like the depth of that heartbreak wasn't even about, oh shit, like he doesn't love me anymore. It was, oh shit, we failed. And now we have to tell everyone that we failed. Basically, babe, before sex with you, there was no sex. But then I did date for like 4 years, but I still had all of that purity culture baggage to unpack. Like I didn't know how to have sex and it not be equivalent to like being married. Basically, there was no such thing as casual sex. And there certainly wasn't any such thing as like enjoyable sex.
I guess what I'm curious about is like, I mean, there are clearly some differences, right? You know, I would assume that as a gay man, he wasn't attracted to you.
No.
So in that regard, how does the sex feel when we do it versus maybe when you conceived your child?
Actually, I do remember the first time that we had sex thinking, holy shit, this is what it's like for someone to actually be into you and be enjoying this. And not just to be enjoying it for themselves, but to enjoy watching you enjoy yourself. Because, babe, you know, with all of my like body image issues and eating disorder issues and all of that, like I never feel attractive or beautiful. And when we were together for that first time, that was the first time that like a man told me that I was beautiful and I actually believed what he was saying. I think it was the first time that my partner wasn't lying to me.
I like that. I'm glad that I could provide that for you. Because I do think you're smoking hot. I mean, I would like to add that we are friends with her ex-husband. He's married now, and we raised their son, the four of us, together. And I mean, I think it's really, really great, honestly.
Yeah, we're neighbors. He and his husband live 2 doors down from me. They bought a house in my street so our son can just ride his bike back and forth. I gave him away when he got married. We're family.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
People love to pretend that there are simple formulas for living your best life now. Eat this and you won't get sick. Manifest it and everything will work out. But there are some things you can choose and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always getting better. I'm Kate Bowler, and on Everything Happens, I speak with kind, smart, funny people about life as it really is. Beautiful, terrible, and everything in between. Let's be human together. Everything Happens is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy, I was wondering, does having sex mean the same thing to both of us? You know, like, is it to connect to each other, to physically release, just to please the other person, just for fun? Are we just checking a box? Just because, I mean, you've had a lot more sex than I have.
It depends. It's not always the same. Sometimes it's just a physical release, you know? Sometimes you just get worked up and you gotta let it go. Other times, we're just laying together and I just, you know me, I get very emotional. And I get, and my emotions overwhelm me, and I just need to express that physically.
Like after we were looking at wedding invitations that night?
Exactly. We were looking at wedding invitations, and I was just, I don't know how to describe it. I was just so overwhelmed by how excited I am to start my life with you that there was no other way for me to let all that energy out. Sex is the best way to let that energy out, I feel like, because that very emotional moment was because of you, right? So I just wanted to share that with you, I guess. Okay. Have we done anything in the bedroom that you hadn't known about / heard about before we discussed it or it happened? I guess I'm a bad influence on you.
You are a bad influence. But honestly, given the amount of pornographic fan fiction that I read in high school, I don't actually think we've done anything that I didn't know about.
I mean, honestly, if you're reading fanfic and...
Shit got real weird. And I was still deep in the church at that point. So that was very, you know, complicated, the feelings.
Uh-huh.
I know that like, as we have explored and searched for other things to do, I have like learned about kinks that I didn't know existed.
Like, such as?
Like, even in the fanfic world, I didn't know that like blood play was a thing.
Oh, okay.
Any like bodily fluid themed kinks I didn't really know about because I can't fathom in my brain that being a thing.
Right.
But as far as stuff that we have actually done, it's pretty much all stuff that I had known about. It was just nothing that I had ever done before, for obvious reasons.
I mean, we haven't done anything like crazy, right?
That's true. Okay, where have there been complications in our sex life?
What do complications mean?
I don't know.
Can you give me an example of what a complication might be?
Well, if I've binged or restricted or having a really bad like food day, then I don't want to have sex, or just things that have thrown, I don't know, a wrench in the gears.
I mean, honestly, for me, no. I just don't have that need. I have this really medium sex drive. I don't think it's very high.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually.
If you were like, let's have sex right now, I would do it. Absolutely, 100%. I would do it enthusiastically. But it's not to the point where like, oh my gosh, I am so frustrated and built up because we haven't had sex in like 2 days or whatever. If I try to initiate and you're having a bad day, it just doesn't mean anything when you say, no, today is not a good day. It doesn't affect me at all. I don't see that as a complication. This relationship is a lot more emotional based for me. And so maybe that helps mitigate some of the times when like we can't have sex because I get my gratification in other ways.
Huh, that's so interesting. Because I was thinking with like my job and grad school, I was feeling recently that like my schedule was like a complication for us. Or, you know how if I think someone might be disappointed, I won't say no to things?
Yeah.
And so like for me, sometimes saying no feels like a complication because, and I think this goes back to like that purity culture thing where you're supposed to always be enthusiastically available for your spouse. Ew, gross. I feel gross saying that out loud. Ew.
Yeah, that is really gross.
And so that always felt like I was the complication. These are things I've discussed with my therapist.
I hope that you never feel pressured to do it.
No, we're working on it. We've come a long way. A long way.
Yeah. Was there anything we did that you were surprised that maybe you liked that you didn't think you would be into? Because clearly you read all this fan fiction in high school, right?
Yes.
So you read all this fan fiction in high school and you have these expectations on what maybe kinky sex is. Was there anything maybe that you've read about that was like, oh, I don't think I would ever enjoy that. And then you were like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I'm totally into that.
It did surprise me a little bit that like there's nothing kinky that we've tried that I've been like, I don't want to do that again. You know, like I honestly cannot think of anything that we've tried other than like for some things I'm like just not flexible enough and I'm old and like it hurts my back.
Right.
I was surprised because you know how I don't like feeling like I don't have a way out?
Uh-huh.
I don't like feeling...
Trapped.
Trapped. And so, like, honestly, the degree to which I like being tied up is surprising, given how much I hate feeling trapped.
Oh, definitely.
I won't even carpool to a party, just in case I want to leave. And I can't.
That checks out.
What has been one of our funnier sex moments?
Funnier sex moments? Funny. I don't find things funny.
Yeah, you have really bad taste in comedy.
I mean, great taste in comedy.
We know this.
That being said, what would you say?
Babe, we own 5 giant dogs.
Oh, yeah. See, that doesn't bother me very much.
Oh, my God. God, I cannot remember what happened. I think Link, like, was licking your foot or something.
Oh,
and you just, like, totally lost it. And you were like, okay, mood killed. I can't do this.
I went from hard to flaccid in a matter of seconds. If there was a world record for losing your erection, I absolutely 100% beat the world record in that moment.
We own these 5 giant dogs and they always want to be like fucking involved.
It's like, bud, this is one thing that you cannot be involved with under any circumstances. Thank you for listening
to Good Sex.
Good Sex is a Lemonada Media original. This show is produced by Claire Jones and Matthew Simonson. Our supervising producer is Jorge Olivares, with Jackie Danziger as our story editor. Executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova-Kramer. Music is by Dan Molad, with additional music from APM Music. Sound design is by Matthew Simonson and L. Rinaldi. If you like Good Sex, the show, not, you know, why don't you rate and review us? Listen and follow for new episodes each week, wherever you're listening right now. And if you want more Good Sex, subscribe to Lemonada Premium only on Apple Podcasts.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere, and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my 2 friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Pod Crush are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.